it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
That hour was absolutely incrunculent. Matt Cook and Tyler Kennedy. I mean, those were great stories. We'll bring back the Don Cherry story. And now we go right to Chris Hoke. I mean, this is just a banner
Wonderful.
Day, a banner year at the Bender Household Limits. You know where that line comes from?
No, please Wrong. Remind me.
I don't remember. Breakfast Club.
Are you wearing your wife's glasses again?
Yeah, again. I liked them yesterday. I don't really care what they look like. The point is I can see. Hokey, how are you?
Hey, I'll tell you what. You're exactly right, Joe. You know, it doesn't matter what the glasses look like. As long as you can see, it's a win.
Yeah, I've reached the point in life, and Hokey's on the phone today, I should say. He's not next to me in studio. I've reached the point in life where I don't care anymore what things look like, how I look. It doesn't matter anymore. I'm seeking efficiency and comfort at this point.
Let's be honest. Have you ever worried about what you look like? I don't know about that.
When Amy Alfano liked me in high school, I did. But unfortunately, I was extremely pale, had greasy hair, braces, and purple tough skins, and things didn't work out.
It's very on topic with the big topic around the building this week, Hokey, that I have absolutely no sense of style.
Do you agree with that, Hokey, that this guy, if we're going to get him hooked up eventually, needs to improve the wardrobe?
Listen, being a little harsh, he's still fine trying to figure things out, trying to find his way, man. Don't be so hard on him.
Yeah, and Hokey, like,
you know what I'm saying?
What I was saying is, I'm coming to work.
Bob was all over him yesterday with good advice, though. We're trying to help him, Hokey.
Bob's the best of the best, right? Bob always sees the good in everybody. He's not negative. So that's par for the course for Paul.
Yeah, but when I come to work, I'm wearing, you know, something with
He called
with
Limits sloppy. He was negative yesterday.
He called me sloppy, Hokey.
Oh, I'm about to talk with Pomp, because that's not like Pomp. Something must be going on there.
Yes, Limits' wardrobe is going on.
Well, here's the thing. Like, when I come to work, I'm wearing something related to sports, because we work in sports talk radio. Like, if I go it's different.
Well, a lot of times the way you dress, like you're going to go and you're presenting yourself to people. In your industry here, you're in the room, you're the producer. There's not much to do, man. You don't need to be dressed up all nice, but you better be getting cleaned up when you go out on a Friday night, though, bud.
Yeah, that is true. That I try to dress better for.
Chris Hoke Show, brought to you by Globe Airport Parking. Fan Twitter, brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. All right, Chris, it feels like a year ago that they played in Dublin, and now the AFC North has just blown up here. I mean, the Ravens are close to extinction. They go to 1-5. Very few teams in history bounce back from that. The Browns are the Browns, and the Bengals are so desperate they went out and got Flacco and are going to start him after 5 minutes. However, this game seems troublesome because I'm not sure the Browns aren't the second-best team in the division right now. How do you size this one up?
Well, it's interesting. You know, the Steelers made a lot of headway just in the weekend where they didn't play. And how often do we see that happening? It happens from time to time. But you look at right now, this game is troublesome. I look at the Browns, and I watched the game last week against the Vikings when they were in London. And they had that game won. This defense that the NFL is talking about, this vaunted defense, they gave up a 10-play, 80-yard drive in less than 3 minutes. And a nice pass to Jordan Addison. If they get a stop there, they win that football game, and the Vikings are really reeling. But they lost that game on that last second drive. And you know what? The Browns are going to be tough. Their defense is tough. They run the football really well. This young running back and Judkins is a good running back. So it's going to be a tough football game. The Steelers have their work cut out for them on Sunday.
Well, they also have some trends that are definitely in their favor. Mike Tomlin, 14-4 after bye weeks, and he's 18-0 at home against the Browns. I mean, those are two pretty significant trends, yes?
Oh, they're huge trends. You know, and also he's very good against rookie quarterbacks, isn't he? I mean, really, if you think about it right now, Tomlin's 26-6 versus rookie quarterbacks.
Wow.
And so, you know, Dylan Gabriel, I mean, this guy has a lot of experience, right? This isn't a guy who only started for 1 year in college. I mean, he was a multi-year starter. I mean, he was a very decorated, accomplished quarterback, you know, and so he's coming in with a lot of experience. You know, he's not Aaron Rodgers' experience, but in terms of a rookie starting, he's not, you know, wet behind the ears, if you will. So this guy is going to be, you know, he looked to me very composed, put together last week against the Vikings. And so I don't know if he's going to be as flappable as you would think for a young quarterback. But I think these Browns, I mean, I think they got something here in Dylan Gabriel.
Are there adjustments defensively? We know Chris Hoke was part of some Super Bowl champions here in Pittsburgh. Is there an adjustment defensively at all to going against a lefty quarterback?
Not for me as a defensive lineman. I don't think so. I mean, the ball, I think it would be more for an offense. The ball spins differently, right? I think back of reading and hearing about when the Niners went from Montana to Young and the way the ball spins differently, and you just got to get used to that. But I don't think as a defense that really to me is something that you need to worry about other than that.
Who's a better player, Hokie? T.J. Watt or Myles Garrett?
Oh, gosh, I got to go with my hometown guy, but they're both incredible football players. Listen, they're both two of the best to ever do the play at that position in the game. And so, you know, it's always fun, this plot, this narrative, this story that's been created with T.J. Watt and with Myles Garrett. Let's be honest, they're both really, really, really good football players, and the Browns and the Steelers are happy to have both of them. And as you mentioned, to see what happens on Sunday, you know, it seems like T.J. gets the edge and tends to play a little better when he plays at Acrisure Stadium, and Myles plays better when they play in Cleveland. So I'm hoping that TJ, that trend continues to move in that direction. So TJ can lead this team and get a win.
What differentiates the two?
Oh man. I just think that, you know, TJ just seems to make that exceptional play. I mean, Myles Garrett is a baller, and he's tough. He's against the run. He's physical against me. He's a great pass rusher, but I just feel like TJ, I think back to the teams that I played on when I was a Steeler, and we had guys that made plays when you needed them to make plays. Big plays, not just a sack, but like an interception, right? Cause a fumble. T.J. Watt just has that. He has that factor where he's able to make a play when the Steelers need to make a play. And to me, that's what separates him. He has more cause fumbles. He has more interceptions than Myles Garrett. And those things, like, sacks are big. But those things turn games around and solidify wins.
Limits, I believe you have a little chart there with T.J. Watt and Myles Garrett. And I agree with Hokie. I mean, obviously, everybody in the world who watches football would agree that both of them are headed to the Hall of Fame. I happen to believe that T.J. Watt just does more. Like he has, I think, 7 or 8 career interceptions and Garrett has none.
Yeah.
Maybe, I don't know if they technically play a little bit different positions because TJ's out there covering people sometimes, but give us the comparison, the conventional stat comparison, if you would.
Yeah, in 3 more games than Garrett has played, Watt with 125, Garrett 122, 8 interceptions to none for Myles Garrett.
That's big.
Yeah, forced fumbles, which is talked about a lot with Garrett. Watt leads 34-20.
Holy ostrich milk.
Fumble recoveries.
That's 2-1. That's almost 2-1.
Yeah, he doubles up fumble recoveries.
1.5-1, yeah. Yep.
13-6 in fumble recoveries. Sacks is 111-106.5. Tackles is not even close. 341 for Watt compared to 264 for Garrett. Solo tackles. Hokie, he's got him in every category.
He's got him in every category, Hokie.
It's not even close. Listen, and that's the reality. That's what just drives me crazy when they try to make these comparisons and say he's so much better. And it's not close. Myles Garrett is the best player on that Browns team. It's not even close. T.J. Watt is the best player, one of the best players, if not the best player on the Steelers team. But there are also a lot of good players, better players than what Myles has around him. So I think that's why Myles just stands out, because he's a man among boys with the Browns. T.J. Watt had other players that are very good, that are comparable to him, you know. But T.J. Watt, listen, that's what I said to you. You asked me. The reality is that T.J. Watt makes game-changing plays routinely. He makes them look routine. And the tough plays look routine, and that's why I think that he is, a much better player. Not much, but he's a better player than Myles Garrett.
Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. And the fan text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say, there's never a fee unless we get money for you. The great Chris Hoke joining me for the 11 o'clock hour. Hokie, so when the Steelers devise their game plan for Myles Garrett, what are the things that you can do? And is there a risk in saying we have to just run away from him, stay away from him? How much do you compromise yourself potentially if so much of your game plan is not letting him wreck the game? Can you go overboard with that, if you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, listen, if you put two or three guys on him every play, you're exposing yourself to other players making big plays. I mean, the Browns' defensive line is really, really good. I mean, Mason Graham has come on. He's played well. You know, you have Alex Wright, and you have the other outside defensive end on the other side. They're not Myles Garrett, but they had a sack last week. They had two forced fumbles last week that were recovered by the Browns against the Vikings. So the other side, the defensive ends on the other side, are really good football players. And this might be the best defensive line the Browns have had in a while. And so if you do too much to shut down Myles Garrett, but two or three guys allocated to him, you're going to open up opportunities for the other guys. And the Steelers offensive line has improved, but you can't put those guys on an island and put those guys in a position where it's going to be strained, because they're not experienced guys. The tackles aren't experienced guys. You know, I know Broderick Jones played some plays, but he's on the left side. And he's going to be going off Myles Garrett. But Faletano hasn't played a lot of snaps, right? And so you can't expose him. You can't expose some of these other guys to tough situations, because this Browns defensive line is tough. They can get after the quarterback. They have the same as many sacks as the Steelers. And so they've got to be very careful how they do it and when they do it.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, I've lost 22 pounds. I'm down to 202. The Holy Grail is right there. I need to lose a couple more. I need to get under 200. You promised me I could come over to your house and do a workout. I'm ready. When can I come over?
Let's go. We'll do it next week.
Okay.
We'll do it next week. I'm ready for you. And I'll tell you this, though. The biggest thing is just making sure that you're staying active, right? And you sit there for 4 hours in the studio.
Yeah.
Like I'm sitting here talking to you right now, and I'm just walking in circles, getting my steps in. I think for me is getting steps, being active and not being so stagnant all the time.
Well, I asked Bob to buy me one of these little like bikes that you can put under your desk at work, but he won't open the wallet limits.
Joe, I think this is the perfect time that we bring back Pomp and Joe on the road. And our first video is us doing a workout with Hokie and him putting us through the ringer.
That could be big.
Of a workout.
Will you let limits into your house, Hokie?
100%. I might let limits in before I let you in.
Wow! How about that? Savvy young new sound.
I like it. All right, back to football. Aaron Rodgers, and I think he's been good so far, but what I wanted to ask you was this. He's getting rid of the ball really quickly, and he's throwing it really short. And I wonder, is that the good news or the bad news here? And is it sustainable, or will they have to at some point to beat certain teams get the ball down the field a little bit more?
Well, I think what you said is it's a loaded question there. But the reality is he's getting rid of the ball 2.16, 2.17 seconds. And I don't know if that's sustainable when you start playing against some really good defenses that can go man, that can get impressed. And can play strong at the line of scrimmage. The reason why he's having to get rid of the ball so quickly, Joe, is because the reality is that the protection breaks down after 2.5 seconds. And, Broderick Jones, he has improved this year, but he leads the NFL with sacks, giving up sacks. He's given up 4 in the first 4 games. Now, that's a lot of sacks. And if Aaron is not getting rid of that football within that 2.16, 2.17 seconds thing, he's getting hit. That's just the facts. I mean, you can watch the film. That's the reality of it. They've got to be more stout in line of scrimmage. And I don't know if it's sustainable because teams are going to come up and they're going to press. They're going to try to take those things away when you start playing against these better defenses. And so they've got to figure that out and get better protection and push the ball down the field. And listen, if they don't, it's going to be hard for them to run the football consistently because if they're not able to push the ball down the field, they're going to keep these teams and, you know, teams are going to stand too high. And when you got too high, it's easier to run the football. But if you can push the ball down the field, they have to go too high, then you can run the football better.
Limits the mere idea of leaving you out of this conversation has Hokie on the verge of tears.
Thank you, Joe. Keanu Benton had a pretty impressive game, Hokie, that I wonder if you think he can build on, or do you think that this is maybe because Derek Harmon and his impact and effect is really starting to pay dividends?
I thought after watching the film against the Vikings in Dublin that he played better football. I thought his technique was better. I thought he played with better pad level extension. You know, one of the things that I was critical with Keanu Benton, who I think is I've been very clear about this. I think he's a very talented football player, was that, you know, when I played for the Steelers, Coach John Mitchell, who's a legendary coach, he would always say to us, don't try to make plays. Play technique and let your technique make plays for you. And Keanu Benton was trying to make plays all the time. He'd come in, he would try to jump guys and swim guys and do things instead of just playing technique. And he'd get himself tangled up, tied up in blocks, twisted around, and then he couldn't get off and make plays. But in this game, he looked to me like he was kind of adopting the Cam Hayward, play, playing with good pad level, good extension, good hands, good footwork. And he was able to come down the line and make plays. And then if you do that, then you can take chances every once in a while. Then you can jump gaps. Then you can hit things. But if you're doing that all the time, a guy's going to catch on to that. He's going to get you tangled up. So I thought this week, guys, to answer your question, he played much better technique football, and that's why he made plays.
Back to Rodgers and what you said for a second, Chris, and that is he mentioned yesterday that teams are playing a lot of cover two, right? Two deep safeties.
Yes.
So what's the best way to, and it's obviously when you have manpower back there and you don't have time to throw, it's a bad combination for getting the ball down the field. So how do you bring a team out of cover two?
Run the football. Be successful. Run the football and be successful. Then they got to bring an extra man in the box. They can bring that safety, the eighth defender in the box. The thing is, then you can't get a hat on a hat, right? If they bring an eighth defender in the box, it's really, really tough to block. And so then you go single high. And with one safety in the middle of the field, but and so that's what the Steelers have to do. They have to be able to run the football to get teams out of cover two safeties deep. And so, they had a good job last week with 99 yards rushing. Can they do that again with Spencer Anderson coming in at that tackle eligible tight end spot, Darnell Washington? That can't be the core. That can't be your offense. That can't be what you hang your hat on. And Coach Thomas talked about that, when I played the Steelers, it's the most important game within a game, most important matchup is the tight ends versus D-ends when you play 4-3 teams. He talked about that since the day he came to Pittsburgh. And so if you can win at the middle, at the center spot, and you can win on the edge, you can have a good running game. But that's the way you're going to get teams out of cover two, and then you can throw the ball down the field if you can protect.
Are you optimistic then that the running game is headed in the right direction? Would you give Kenneth Gainwell a little bit more run as a ball carrier?
Listen, I think Kenneth Gainwell did a great job, and I think that he had to get a lot of success. If you watch that film, they were getting movement with Spencer Anderson and Darnell Washington. They were moving the line of scrimmage. And when you can hit the ball downhill, when you're coming off that edge and there's a soft edge, if you will, you can get yardage. And that's what was happening. But then it limits what you can do, right? When you have Spencer Anderson, when you have Darnell Washington there now on the field, now you have two tight ends, you have that running back. You can't have as many eligible guys where you can really put together a good passing game. And so you've got to be careful that you don't do it too much. I mean, in the game against the Vikings, I think they only did, if I remember my numbers right, I think it was 18, 19 plays, 36, 37% of the time. You just got to be careful that you don't do it too much. Then it limits you, what we just talked about, pushing the ball down the field and getting the ball to your playmakers so they can get big plays.
Chris Hoke, Super Bowl champion, going to stay with us for the whole hour. We have plenty to talk about. Going to get his prediction coming up next.
it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.